Where did we come from? Why are we here on Earth? Where do we go after we die? Mormons, more properly referred to as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, believe that God has a plan for us. It's called the plan of salvation, and it contains answers to all of these questions, and more. Latter-day Saints believe that everyone on earth is a child of God. He is our Heavenly Father, and He loves us. His purpose, His work, and His glory is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of His children. In other words, He wants us to return to Him and live with Him in a state like Him forever. To help us do that, Heavenly Father presented a plan for us to follow. In the Scriptures, this plan is known as the plan of happiness, the plan of redemption, and the plan of salvation. Let's take a more detailed look at the plan. Before we were born on earth, we lived as spirit children of our Heavenly Father. This stage of our eternal progression is known as our pre-earth life, or the pre-mortal existence. Because of the love and glory of our Father in heaven, we wanted to become more like Him. For this to happen, God knew that each of us needed to receive a physical body. This mortal life, with all its challenges and its joys, would be a chance to learn through experience and see if we will do all things whatsoever the Lord God shall command us. Under the direction of Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ created the earth so that we could have a place to do all this. Thus, in the pre-earth life, we chose to accept this plan of salvation and enter mortality. Here, God continues to grant us agency, which is the freedom to act, so that we can learn the difference between good and evil and choose to do good. One way that God wants us to show our love for Him is to obey the commandments He gives us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. As part of these commandments, God asks us to receive sacred ordinances, like baptism. As Jesus taught, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. By receiving these ordinances, we make covenants or promises with God. We promise to follow Him, and in return, He promises to bless us. Of course, God knew that we would make mistakes here on earth. And if we couldn't repent of our sins, we wouldn't be worthy to live with Him again. To make it possible for us to overcome our sins, God chose Jesus Christ to be our Savior and Redeemer. As part of the plan of salvation, Jesus Christ would be born on earth, teach us, establish His church, and suffer and die for our sins. Because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, we can repent and be forgiven of our sins and mistakes. And because of His resurrection, we too will all be resurrected one day and live forever. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Of course, before we can be resurrected, we must die. Just like birth, death is part of the plan of salvation. Losing friends and loved ones is hard. We know, though, that the Spirit is eternal. After death, the people we care about and everyone else born on the earth live on. At death, our spirits leave our mortal bodies and go to the spirit world. In the spirit world, we wait for the time when our bodies will be resurrected. For those people who chose to follow God on earth, the spirit world is a place of peace and rest from earthly cares. The Scriptures also tell us, in the spirit world, the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to those who never had the chance to hear it during their time on earth, as well as to those who chose not to follow God's commandments. When our time to be resurrected comes, our spirit will be reunited with our physical body. But this time, our physical body will be perfect and immortal, and we will never again experience physical death. After the resurrection, we will come back into the presence of God to be judged. We will have a perfect memory of the bad and good things we did during our life on earth. Because He is our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ will act as our advocate at the day of judgment. If we have repented of our sins, then we will be forgiven of our past mistakes. Both the New Testament and modern Revelation teach that there is more than one kingdom of heaven, or degrees of glory, where resurrected people will dwell after Judgment Day. As Jesus himself said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." The first of these, and the highest degree, is the celestial kingdom. In the scriptures, the celestial kingdom is represented by the sun to evoke its light and glory. This is where the righteous will live, that is, those people who repented of their sins, received the ordinances of the gospel, and were faithful to the covenants they made with God. God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, dwell in the celestial kingdom. Those people who merit life in the celestial kingdom will live with and be like God forever in a state of glory and happiness. Another kingdom, known as the terrestrial kingdom, is provided for those who live generally good lives, but they were not as faithful to the gospel of Christ. In Scripture, the terrestrial kingdom is represented by the brightness of the moon. Those people who led evil lives during mortality, but eventually in the spirit world acknowledge Christ as the Savior, will live in the celestial kingdom, the lowest of the three degrees of glory. In the scriptures, the celestial kingdom's glory is compared to the stars. Lastly, there is a place of punishment reserved for Satan and the most wicked. It's called outer darkness, or hell. The greatest blessing we can ever receive is to live with and like God, together with our family in the celestial kingdom forever. This is what Latter-day Saints mean by the word exaltation. So let's review. What is the plan of salvation? The plan of salvation is God's plan to help us, His spirit children, to become like Him. In His plan, we are born here on earth, where we learn to follow His commandments. He also sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the mistakes we'd inevitably make. After we die, our spirits live on in the spirit world, where we will await the resurrection and day of judgment. At the judgment, we will be assigned to one of the three degrees of glory, or outer darkness. The judgment will be based on our actions on earth and who we have become. God loves us. He wants us to know about the plan of salvation, because He wants us to return to live with Him and be like Him forever. Now you know.
The Book of Mormon is the Word of God. Like the Bible, it is Holy Scripture. It is a record of God's dealings with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas and contains the fullness of the everlasting gospel. The book was written by many ancient prophets through the spirit of prophecy and revelation. Their words, written on gold plates, were quoted and abridged by a prophet historian named Mormon. The crowning event recorded in the Book of Mormon is the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ among the Nephites soon after His resurrection. It puts forth the doctrines of the gospel, outlines the plan of salvation, and tells men and women what they must do to gain peace in this life and eternal salvation in the life to come. In due course, the plates were delivered to Joseph Smith, who translated them by the gift and power of God. The record is now published in many languages as a new and additional witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that all who will come unto Him and obey the laws and ordinances of His gospel may be saved. We invite all men and women everywhere to read the Book of Mormon, to ponder in their hearts the message it contains, and then to ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if the book is true. Those who pursue this course and ask in faith will gain a testimony of its truth and divinity by the power of the Holy Ghost.
The Book of Mormon. What is it, and why do members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints care so much about it? Mormons, properly referred to as Latter-day Saints, members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, read and revere the Bible as all Christians do. But they read and believe in an additional book called The Book of Mormon, Another Testament of Jesus Christ. For them, it's not a replacement for the Bible, it's not a substitute, it's a companion. Just as the Bible is Scripture, the Book of Mormon is also Scripture. Let's talk a little about what Scriptures are and how they come about. The word Scripture means sacred or religious writings. Scriptures are written by God's spokesmen, called prophets, His representatives. Although God often teaches and communicates with His children individually, something Latter-day Saints call personal revelation, when God interacts with or teaches His children as a people, His prophets record those events and teachings for the benefit of all. The Holy Bible is one example of Scripture. It is an account of God's interactions and teachings with the people in and around the Eastern Mediterranean region before, during, and after the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is a collection of writings, both spiritual and historical, written by prophets. In the Holy Bible, there are miraculous stories of faith, sacrifice, trial, and love. You might have heard of Noah and the Ark, or Moses and the children of Israel, and of course the birth, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These stories and events were written down, collected, and shared from generation to generation. They were eventually compiled into a collection of Scripture, a book called the Holy Bible. Originally written in both Hebrew and Greek, the Bible has since been translated into English and hundreds of other languages available throughout the world. What about the people that lived beyond the geographical setting of the Bible, outside the Mediterranean area? What kind of interaction did God have with them? Well, in the Bible, from the book of John, Jesus revealed to His disciples in Jerusalem, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear My voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Some of these other sheep to which Jesus refers are the inhabitants of the ancient Americas who lived at that time. The Book of Mormon is a compilation of the sacred writings of many generations of the people that lived there and received instruction and teachings from God. They had prophets who, just like the Bible, recorded spiritual and historical events over thousands of years. And similarly to the Bible, these stories and events were written down, collected, and shared from generation to generation. They too were eventually compiled into a book. It is called The Book of Mormon, Another Testament of Jesus Christ. And like the Bible, the Book of Mormon is a collection of writings both spiritual and historical, written by God's prophets. In the Book of Mormon, there are also miraculous stories of faith, sacrifice, trial, and love. The crowning event in the Book of Mormon is the account of Jesus Christ ministering to the other sheep as He said He would. Shortly after His death, the Savior appeared to the inhabitants of the ancient Americas as the resurrected Lord with a body of flesh and bones. As He did in His earthly ministry in Jerusalem, Jesus taught the inhabitants His gospel, and they recorded it. They handed it down to future generations through prophets, leaders, and other inspired individuals. So how did the Book of Mormon get its name? Who is Mormon? And what does he have to do with this book of Scripture? In the 4th century AD, again in the Americas, there lived a prophet and historian named Mormon. He was charged by God to abridge all of the scriptural records that had been kept and passed down from past prophets in that part of the world. Mormon engraved the abridgment on gold plates in a language his people called Reformed Egyptian. As Mormon was the prophet whom God called to compile the centuries of records, the book carries his name, the Book of Mormon. At the end of his life, he passed these engraved plates to his son Moroni, also a prophet of God who was last to add to the book. Before he died, Moroni buried the gold plates in a stone box on a hillside in what is now upstate New York. 1,400 years later, in 1823, this same prophet Moroni, now a resurrected being, appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith. He told Joseph about the gold plates, showed him where to find them, and commanded him to translate the record into English, which Joseph did under the power and inspiration of God. And since then, the Book of Mormon has been translated into over 100 languages and is, like the Holy Bible, also available throughout the world as an additional book of sacred writings written by God's prophets, Scripture. So what's in the Book of Mormon? As stated on its introduction page, the Book of Mormon puts forth the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, outlines God's plan of happiness for his children, and tells them what they must do to gain peace in this life and obtain salvation and eternal life with God. Nephi, an early prophet found in the Book of Mormon, preached, "And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins." In fact, the Book of Mormon has over 500 pages containing nearly 3,500 references to the Savior Jesus Christ. It testifies of Jesus Christ, it declares the mission of the Savior, it reveals the gospel of Jesus Christ, and clarifies doctrine. As the Bible contains the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Book of Mormon is yet another testament of Jesus Christ. It is another witness of God's dealings with his children in a different part of the world. The Bible and the Book of Mormon work together to teach and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's dealings with his children. Today, millions of Latter-day Saints believe the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ, to be Scripture. They believe it is the Word of God to his children and stands as a companion to the Holy Bible. God loves his children and wants them to know about him, learn of him, and his Son Jesus Christ. He has provided Holy Scripture to show his children the way. Through living the teachings found in the Book of Mormon and the Holy Bible, they can find peace in this life and salvation in the life to come. The Book of Mormon. What it is, where it came from, and what it teaches. Now you know.
I was introduced to God, or the concept of God, by my mom. I can remember I was about 2 or 3 years old, kneeling by my bed. We had this little Bible with loads of beautiful pictures of them. I remember Moses parting the Red Sea, Abraham, Samson, King David, you know, taking down Goliath. And those first experiences really left their mark on me. My name is Chris Cook. I live in London, England, and I'm a serving bishop in the Mormon faith right now. A bishop is a non-paid ministry in the church. The church's official name is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're called the Mormons as a nickname, and this comes from the Book of Mormon, which is a book like the Bible. I think that the Book of Mormon actually helps to complete the message that the Bible is sharing to the world.
Around 600 BC, during the time of Jeremiah, the biblical prophet, another prophet named Lehi was commanded to leave Jerusalem and take his family into the wilderness, where they would build a ship and cross the sea. They arrived in a promised land, what we know as the American continent, where they created a civilization which endured many centuries. Lehi's sons populated the land and communicated with God from time to time. Mormon was one of the last descendants of this people. All the writings of their prophets were compiled by him and are known as the Book of Mormon.
When I first met the missionaries, they showed me the Book of Mormon. I was compelled to read it. It makes sense that God would continue to speak to us. The significance of God speaking to me through prophets and apostles, through reading the scriptures, means that, you know, he's there. And he's actively engaged in, you know, providing for me. So the whole experience has changed my whole life. You know?
Behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirit of all men, as soon as they depart this mortal body, yea, the spirit of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirit of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrow.
When I read that those words, I felt the spirit. And if I can try to describe it, it was a feeling of peace. My mind was enlightened. I felt like it was true. Where I'm from in Jamaica, it's a very superstitious place. It was a very unpleasant thing to contemplate, death. The scripture points out to me that it is a part of God's plan. There is a place prepared for people that die. And I'm happy that I was able to come to that knowledge, and I've got the Book of Mormon and that experience to thank for.
And he shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, He will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. And he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which binds his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people.
This verse of scripture is saying there that Jesus Christ has taken upon himself my sicknesses, my pains, my challenges, which puts him in a position to understand me better. When I read this scripture and it really touched me, I just felt like I wanted to be a good person. It left me with the feeling that I never want to do another bad thing for the rest of my life.
And when you shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things.
I came to a knowledge that the book is true, I would say, gradually. It came through little experiences here on that page and a little experience there on that page, and always accompanied by the Holy Ghost.
The way the Book of Mormon has changed me the most, it has filled me with the desire to become more like Jesus Christ.
What the Book of Mormon does is it makes me want to share it with as many people as I see on the street. I want this book to fill the world, man.
When Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram started for Carthage to face what they knew would be an imminent martyrdom, Hiram read these words of comfort to the heart of his brother: "Thou hast been faithful, wherefore thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place with which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father." A few short verses from the 12th chapter of Ether in the Book of Mormon. Before closing the book, Hiram turned down the corner of the page from which he had read, marking it as part of the everlasting testimony for which these two brothers were about to die. I hold in my hand that book, the very copy from which Hiram read, the same corner of the page turned down, still visible. Later, when actually incarcerated in the jail, Joseph the prophet bore a powerful testimony of the divine authenticity of the Book of Mormon. Shortly thereafter, Pistol and Ball would take the lives of these two testators. In this their greatest and last hour of need, I ask you, would these men blaspheme before God by continuing to fix their lives, their honor, and their own search for eternal salvation on a book, and by implication, a church and a ministry they had fictitiously created out of whole cloth? Never mind that their wives are about to be widows and their children fatherless. Never mind that their little band of followers will yet be houseless, homeless, and friendless, and that their children will leave footprints of blood across frozen rivers and an untamed prairie floor. Never mind that legions will die and other legions live, declaring in the four quarters of this earth that they know the Book of Mormon and the church which it espouses it to be true. Disregard all of that and tell me whether in this hour of death these two men would enter the presence of their eternal judge, quoting from and finding solace in a book which, if not the very word of God, would brand them as imposters and charlatans until the end of time. They would not do that. They were willing to die rather than deny the divine origin and the eternal truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is true and was given to bring happiness and hope to the faithful in the travail of the last days. Brothers and sisters, God always provides safety for the soul, and with the Book of Mormon, He has again done that in our time. Remember this declaration by Jesus Himself: "Whoso treasureth up my word shall not be deceived, and in the last days neither your heart nor your faith will fail you. Of this I earnestly testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."